I'm Erin. I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict, and I'm so grateful to be here with you today. So I will say quickly, I was nervous, right? I was nervous. And then I think I heard Beverly say, our great speaker, and I all of a sudden started tearing up, and I was like talking to my higher power going, what if I'm not great? What if I'm not great? And then it was shared with me that I can be just a good enough speaker. Right? Because something else that someone said to me at a time where I thought it was all about me was, it's actually not about you at all. And I was like, oh, right. Okay. So I got some freedom there. It's not really about me. I'm hopefully here to carry the message to someone who needs it and to share my experience, strength, and hope. And boy, what a segue that is. So I was asked to talk a little bit today about hope. And Nadine, you have cards for me? Okay, perfect. 10 and 5. Okay. So I'm going to qualify for just a couple of minutes because I like a qualifier as well. I like to hear, right? Because sometimes I look out at you and I think, oh, they never had the trouble I had. Look at them. Right? I don't know from looking at you what your story is and what your recovery is like. And so I can be judgmental. And I like to know. So I'm going to share with you briefly. So I started, my parents got divorced, blah, blah, blah. My story is pretty boring. It's not super exciting. I'm a run-of-the-mill compulsive eater and binger and sugar addict, right? And when I binge on sugar. So my parents got divorced. I started using, sugar to anesthetize myself because I was very sad. And some other things happened in my childhood. And boy, food was really like, I don't know if you guys know this feeling, but food really did it for me, right? I felt better, and I didn't have any other tools. And that's okay, right? That's okay. I didn't have any other tools. So my disease progressed, and I was, got hit puberty, right? Which is, oh, God. Poor Erin, geez, right, Erin Brin. I'm already, puberty is already hard, but, add in compulsive eating and maybe you guys, some of you know how that feels, right? Puberty, and then, oh, how can I be thin, right? Because all my friends are thin. All my friends were little and thin. So I stuck out like a sore thumb, or at least that's my perception, right? I look at pictures now and I'm like, maybe that perception wasn't totally accurate, but I felt that way and that's what mattered. That's how I felt. So started going on diets, started, doing all the things that I think we do when we're trying to manage our compulsion. I can only speak for myself, but I joined some commercial diet clubs. I did some, crazy things around food. And all the things, just drank whiskey, didn't drink whiskey, just drank wine, didn't drink light wine, fortified wine. I did all the stuff, right? And some of it would work for a little while. And I think what happened was I tried everything I could think of, and I was miserable. And part of my story, which I'll share because it's, I don't know, maybe someone will relate to it. Toward the end, before I came into recovery, which was in 2003, came into these rooms in 2003, I developed this sort of stress-related food. I don't know what it was, but I couldn't swallow whole food. Every time I would try to swallow, I would choke. And so I was like, awesome. All I have to do now is drink smoothies. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to drink smoothies. But what really happened, you may be able to guess, is it wasn't like nutritional smoothies. It was like the other things that are super easy to get down that are creamy and delicious, right? And that was for about a year. And then I started to get afraid that I wasn't ever going to be able to eat normally again. And I don't just mean like eat normally. I mean like swallow whole food. So that's sort of a weird part of my story. And I just, I add that because, I don't know, we all have our things, right? So I think I Googled, you know, it's 2003. I Googled. I think that's what we do now. We Google things. I put into my computer, I can't quit eating. Right. And thank my higher power that Overeaters Anonymous popped up. So I came in 2003. I was in for a couple of years. I did all the things except for get a sponsor and work the steps. you know what I got from that was I walked in the room and I knew I was home. I wasn't able to or willing yet to do those two things I just mentioned, but I found the fellowship and I found companionship and people who understood me. And I got some physical recovery and, I was pretty compliant. And then my life got big and I left, right? Cause I sort of graduated and, in my mind I graduated, right? And then over the next 10, 14 years, you know, I slowly slipped back into my compulsive eating and relapse, and it got worse, right? It got worse. And I came back in 2017, and this is what I want to – I do have a couple of things that I actually wrote, which is sort of shocking to me. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to, and this has the word hope in it, which I just loved. All this we did willingly. This is from the 12 and 12 on page 10. All this we did willingly, hoping we could still eat all we wanted and be free of the compulsion. That's what I wanted to do, right? I just hoped that I, and you know, honestly, there's a part of me today that's like, well, if I could still eat that way and you know, maybe, right? But that was my hope, right? Was I'd come into these rooms and I would be able to keep eating how I wanted to. You guys would show me how to do that and I could be thin, right? Little did I know, right, that physical recovery was the tip of the iceberg. I'm a pretty vain person. I'm a pretty selfish person, right? Thank goodness that you guys have showed me ways to sort of let those character defects go and to work on those character defects, because I love you all and I don't want to be selfish around you. I don't want my character defects to be the things that show up when I'm around you guys, right? And so that might be selfish and egotistical but if, you know, I'll act as if, right? You guys will show me and I'll act as if, and then it's sort of okay, I'm getting it, right? I'm getting the joy, you know, and happy, joy, and free, right? But what came before that was weary and discouraged, right? Hope. Baffled. Like I was like, oh, I have hope, right? Because to me, hope has always meant like, well, I'm hoping this is going to go well without really like doing any of the work that like is going to get it to maybe go well. Like I just hope it crossed my fingers, hope it goes well. And I'm going to be over in the corner here eating. Right. Like that was my idea of hope. And that has changed. Because what I see now is I see other people doing actions, things that work for them. And that gives me hope. Right. I see, you know, newcomers walk into the room and, and I see on occasion when they're, you know, the light go on in their eyes, right? And sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I'm a slow person, right? I'm the educational variety. That's just me. And seeing the changes that happened for me, if I was just, I equate hope with a couple of things. Hope with willingness, right? If I'm willing, hope comes, is kind of side by side. Like I've got willingness in one hand and hope in the other. And hope also comes truthfully with my higher power, right? Higher power, God, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works. You know, my higher power, I'll just touch on that briefly. When I came in, it kind of varies, but a lot of times it's an eagle flying because I love eagles. And when I'm meditating, I'm flying side by side with my eagle higher power, right? You know, I don't know. Sometimes it's the lady who was Mother Nature in the margarine commercials when I was growing up, right? Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes it's just, and it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters. But it's not me. It's not me. And I'm grateful for that because I'm a person that likes to control things. And if I can't control it and do a good job, then I also obviously am not good, right? I'm not good and I can't do things. And so, boy, that's a great excuse for me to turn to the thing that soothes me. So it's not about me. And I don't have control over anything but myself and my actions. So I got relief when I came into these rooms, and with that relief, I got hope. Like I said, to digress, I watched what you guys were doing. I watched what people were doing, and I asked questions, and I hope to continue to do that, to ask questions, what's working for you, and to learn things, because I like sort of things to be the same all the time. That works for me, right? A lot of things that are underlying my character defects are from my childhood. No blame, but it's safety and security, right? So if things kind of are the same all the time, I feel like, okay, like, you know, it's good. I'm in recovery. Things are good. Where I find more recovery is when I'm willing to sort of live in that gray a little bit, right? Where I don't, okay, this is going to be different. And okay, so just a very quick side note. I did some research. I took the train here, which I love to do, but it's about it's a half an hour drive from the station to here. And I had like checked the Green Line. It's cheap. You know, I like to also, scarcity is also a thing for me. So the Green Line is cheap. It takes you like 10 minutes from here, blah, blah, blah. I figured out all this stuff. This is how it's going to go. And then I came with another fellow and they were like, well, what do you think about just taking a Lyft? And I was like, I don't, how, what, how do you do that? She's like, well, we can, I was like, okay, you know what? We could take a Lyft. And that might not seem like a big deal, but it was different than how I thought it was going to go. And so I'll tell you what, that Lyft ride was incredible. If you want to hear about it, ask me about it later, because the guy that drove the Lyft, amazing story. I just heard a story that blew my mind. And so, like, I don't know what I don't know. But if I'm willing to try something different, and that may, you know, that may not be a lot for someone else, but for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to try this different thing. And boy, it was a great experience. And I got hope from that. Like, oh, I tried this different thing, and it was fine. It was totally fine. Also, I tried this different thing, and it was hard, and I didn't like it. But I tried it anyway. And I may not do it again, but I tried it. And that's hopeful too, right? As my sponsor will say, when I'm having a great day, this too shall pass. When I'm having a bad day, this too shall pass, right? And I think that's, you know, if I had to describe life, I'm pretty sure that's just a series of, life is a series of this too shall pass, right? Which I never learned how to do. So until I started working the steps. And I do want to give a shout out to the Big Book. I love the Big Book. That is how my sponsor took me through the steps. That's how I take my sponsees. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees. I also do the temporary sponsorship. Service has been really incredible for me. Where was I before I said that part? I started talking about service, but it feels like there was something. What was it? Oh, the Big Book. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody's listening. That's great. The Big Book. My sponsor. That's how I have worked the steps. I look forward to maybe working out of the 12 and 12. Like, you know, I can do something different. So, but the working the steps is how I'm learning to be an adult. And I like to say, you know, I was about 11 when I came in, and I maybe, I don't know if I had to guess, I'm probably maybe like 25 or 30 now. Like, that's sort of like how that feels for me sometimes. Sometimes I'm still 11. Not very often, thank goodness. And I've gotten a lot of relief and a lot of a lot of hope that I have a solution. I think about those first few AAs, right, that didn't have this. They didn't know it was AA yet, right? Bill and Bob and, you know, the third AA. Like, they didn't know. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm a compulsive eater. Can you imagine if all of a sudden I realize that I have a problem with food and there's no solution? Like, I'm either going to eat myself to death or, in my case, maybe restrict myself to death or I'm either going to die quickly or slowly, right? And slowly meaning my life is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So I really sort of look very sort of dearly on those people and all the slender threads that had to come together for AA to develop, right? And then for us to get OA. And thank God, you know, thank God Roseanne went to, you know, the Gamblers Anonymous, right? Like, and thought, oh, that maybe, you know, this feels like this could be something, like, could this work for food, right? Like, I'm just grateful for that. And those people gave me hope, right? And so, I'm an enthusiastic person. I don't know if that comes across, but, I was talking to a couple of folks, you know, it's an affect and it's a defect. Because I'm enthusiastic and I can sometimes assume that my enthusiasm is your enthusiasm. And that's not always the case. And there's some ego involved there, right? And so some of the things that I have learned in recovery is that I can be enthusiastic. You know, it is something that really serves me. However, right, I also, I want to be of service, and being super enthusiastic is not always going to be of service to some people, right? It will, in fact, turn them off. And so I'll have to let some people weigh in on that know me well, but I think that I'm starting to find a bit of a balance there, and that's just through using the tools, working the steps, and being of service. I go to about 4 meetings a week. I have my own business. And so I am privileged to have a lot of flexibility in my schedule. I realize that and I'm grateful for it. I do not take that lightly. But I also have some daily rituals, that I would say I do them almost always, right? Almost always. I read and write in the morning, almost always. I'm a horrible meditator. I don't know if any of you can sort of relate to that, but I try to meditate for 5 minutes a day with a meditation app, you know, and I get on my knees every morning and pray, and my knees are sort of sore. I've abused them in my life. So I get on my knees in the morning, right when I get out of bed, and I pray and I say, you know, show me how to be of service. Help me be patient, kind, tolerant, and loving, right? Because those are not natural occurring things in me. But I see them show up more often. I want to perfect. Okay. I think we have 10 minutes left. I think I'm going to say a couple more things, and then I think I will open it up to questions or open share. Like, if people want to come up and do a share or a question, I really asked higher power how I should show up today. And this is what I'm getting, is that I have a little bit more to share, and then I'd love to hear from other people. I did want to say one thing. Okay, so there's a couple of, I'm a definition person, I'm a slogan gal, and I'm a definition person, but the definition that I got for So the now, the verb for hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. That's the verb, the action, to cherish a desire with anticipation, and to want something to happen or be true. The noun for hope is desire accompanied by expectation of or a belief in fulfillment, expectation of fulfillment or success. So I have hope. I have hope. And I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to show up to assemblies where, you know, all of you are. I'm going to go to convention, and I'm going to be just a convention person that, like, wants to go out of the workshops and then probably has to go nap because I overdo it. Right. And I'm going to show up imperfectly all the time. But I'm going to keep showing up, and I'm going to keep reaching out to newcomers. And, I'm going to hope that people reach out to me if I'm not around, if they wonder where I am. I hope that somebody will notice that I'm not there, should that ever happen. The last thing I want to say is, I just want to close with, page 333 and for today. And thank you for who put all the hope page numbers in the binder. Who did that? That was amazing and wonderful and beautiful, because this is where I got this. Page 333 for today. And my writing is so bad. Aaron Brand, what are you thinking? Okay. Hope is the risk that must be run. Hope and willingness are the springboards to recovery. The hope of being healed of my illness, this is the part, is a risk I'm willing to run today and every day. Thank you.